Good evening, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. Howard, I think I have the recorder on correctly, I believe. Yep, it's working. Perfect. First and foremost, my heart to yours. Number one, if I'm aware of this correct, back to Sharing House, our goal was 300 book bags. And I believe right now we're at 50 just from our church alone. And I want to tell from my heart to you, thank you so much. Thank you for your generosity. Actually, just this evening, both this shopping cart and all of this came in as well. So we need more book bags. And that's an awesome problem to have. So for all the central classes, thank you for giving and be involved in that. Want to make a few notes for prayer requests this evening as before we get into our Bible study tonight. First and foremost, be praying for Pastor. He is on vacation this week. He will return on Saturday. Just pray that it's a refreshing time for him and Myra and Joshua. And just be praying for them. Louise Chester, be praying for her. She is hopefully going home this afternoon from the hospital. I was with her yesterday. They're still trying to figure out between her diabetes and blood pressure medicine, trying to find that balance. So pray for Louise Chester. Continue to pray for Diane Huffman. Pray for Colin Wright. Colin Wright is one of our students. It is Ricky and Melissa's son. He had a horrible ear infection yesterday, was taken to the ER, and he's been suffering through some ear infections for quite some time now. But pray for him because they had to put him on some antibiotics and just work with him. So pray for him. Pray for Bo. Bo had some test runs today. They found a spot on his liver. And we're going to pray and trust God that that's nothing. And that God's going to bring strength and healing to Bo's body.
Amen.
And we're just thankful just for the love and the joy that he brings us always. One of the biggest blessings always, I come walking through that door on Wednesday night, and I know who my first hug is.
He's
my first hug, and I'll take that every Wednesday night. Please be in prayer for Bill Simmons. Miss Dottie passed away on Tuesday around 9:45. Just please be in prayer. Right now there is no scheduled service. They're looking toward maybe mid-September for a small memorial service, but pray for Bill during this time. But also, an unexpected death. I got a contact from Miss Claudette. Miss Jo Webster McCall, and this is Charlie Webster McCloud's sister. Am I correct on this? Sister? Joe's husband passed away unexpectedly. They were celebrating actually her retirement from the pharmacy, and just unexpected massive heart attack and passed away. So pray for the Webster family. Please do pray for the Webster family.
Yeah, I talked to Miller this afternoon, and Louise was not able to go home.
She's not okay. Any updates?
For another day at least.
Okay. Any other prayer requests I missed? Please pray for our students. They're all heading back to school. I know McKaylee Ann started school today. I know Kannapolis City School started school today. I know Cabarrus County has another week and a half still until school starts back. But pray for all of our students. And pray that these book bags would be a huge blessing to the students in our community. I was just talking today with someone from Concord Middle School and just hearing the needs at Concord Middle and simple acts of gesture of generosity and kindness from the church can have a huge impact on these children's lives. And so just pray for these book bags as they go out to the Baptist Sharing House that they would be blessing. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Mary Lynn.
Yes, pray for Jim and I as we work through my cousin's escape and my aunt's, she is at Five Oaks. She's 95 years old. So I'm her sole caregiver now since my cousin passed away in April. So So we're really having to search and dig and clear out stuff, and it's been quite a task physically and emotionally, and just pray for us that we'll make the right decisions. And pray for strength.
Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, this right now has become a very, very divisive topic in our country, sadly, with these issues. But my prayer, not only for Philadelphia, but my prayer for the Church of Jesus Christ is that we would be light and salt and show truly what love is and care is for one another, despite living in a culture of violence. My prayer is that we would show a better way, a godly way, the right way. And let's pray for all those who've been affected, because those who were affected in El Paso, a lot of these children now are going back to school without their parents. And no matter what side you're on the issue, it should break your heart. And then you should pray for them. Yes, Mr. Jr.
Our 5-year-old granddaughter went to Safety Town yesterday, and she came home telling us what we should do if someone has a gun. And this is sad. A little 5-year-old has to be taught. You know, she was telling us to hide, run, holler, go to a policeman. I mean, you know, did we all know this when we started school? You know, we didn't have that to face. And it's really a sad way our world is turning to. Then I have a word of praise. My brother-in-law that I have listed on the prayer request, Charles Miller,
yep.
He finally heard from his cat before. He had a 10-pound tumor removed out of his abdomen, and it was coming from his appendix. Mm. And the cat report came back. It was cancer of the appendix, but the part of the colon and all the lymph nodes were all negative. There was
praise
no
God.
Sign of any spreading. So he does not have to go to chemo. All he's got to do is a CT of abdomen every 6 months for 7 years. So we praise God.
Praise God.
Cancer, but we still praise God.
Amen.
Thank you for all the
prayers. Amen. Just send this just a praise God moment to as well. For those who were, you know, Jimmy Hamilton had heart attack last week, last Monday, and by God's grace, putting people in unique places at unique times as only God can plan. He is back home. He is running around, being himself, and we praise God for that. We praise God for what he's done in this gorgeous life. God is an awesome God.
Amen.
And all these requests we bring to him, we know that he hears us and he cares. And I'm thankful for that. Yes, Miss Sarah.
I have a prayer for my daughter's mother. She works in the hospital. She's a student. She's got a problem with her feet. Her feet are about children. And I pray that something's hurt.
Mm-hmm. Bones
for yeah.
All right, church family, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and then we'll jump into our study this evening as we sort of lay a foundation for our next discussion next week as we continue in our 2020 vision. Let's pray. Lord, we come together as the body of Christ. We come to you in prayer, knowing, O Lord, in faith that we can trust you. You are faithful. You are good. Your mercy endures forever, and your mercy was new this morning. And Lord, I pray, not only with the needs that have been spoken, but Lord, I pray that in each and every one of our lives that we would wholly be dependent upon you. For you care for your people. You care about the smallest details in our lives. And Lord, I pray that in our own prayer lives that we would not hesitate to humble ourselves and to come at your feet and to lay our burdens down and to trust you that you will work. Lord, I pray for our students, Lord, who are going back to school. Lord, I pray for many who might be going back with uncertainty or fear. And Lord, I pray that not only would you comfort them and encourage them, but that, Lord, you would let the body of Christ shine brightly in this sinful culture. Lord, I pray that people would see a difference in us as we show the love of Christ to one another and show the love of Christ to our community. So, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us and empower us by your Spirit to be on mission for you and to show your love wherever we may go. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling in their health. Lord, you're not only the creator of our bodies, but Lord, you're the one who sustains our bodies. You are the great physician, and you can bring healing. And Lord, therefore, with all of these physical ailments, Lord, we are giving it over to you. Lord, for Bo, for Louise, for Miss Diane, for Colin, Lord, for this bone spur, Lord, we just lay these all at your feet, knowing, O Lord, that you can work and intervene and move as only you can. And therefore, Lord, we are trusting you with our very lives, knowing that you can work and move. Lord, I pray for the Webster family. Lord, I pray for the Simmons family, that you would comfort them and strengthen them during this time. Lord, I pray that, Lord, even in times like these, that they be aware of your presence. For, Lord, you are near to them even in times of mourning. And, Lord, I pray for us as the body of Christ, as we will read tonight, Lord, that also we would come alongside those who are mourning, and that we would comfort them and love them and pray for them in their times of mourning. So, Lord, I pray tonight that our discussion be fruitful. Lord, I pray that, Lord, our study tonight would be like a string around our finger, that you would use it as a reminder of your truth, and that, Lord, in all things that are said and done, you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, church family, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is where we're going to be tonight. I told Howard as I was heading to the office this afternoon that I plan to dismiss a little bit early, so hopefully we'll get out around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and the choir will see you afterwards.
Right.
The next step in our discussion as a church is the idea of collective potential. Meaning this, in the body of Christ, two things we hold to be foundational. Number one, we have the same Lord. And number two, we have the same Spirit. Each person who's repented of their sins, placed their faith in Christ, has the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, every single believer has also been gifted by the Spirit. And ultimately, tonight's discussion is going to revolve around the issue of spiritual gifts. Now, if you want to make this note, this is not going to be in the notes up here, but there are three primary passages in which we talk about spiritual gifts. Number one, 1 Corinthians 12. Number two, Romans 12. And number three, Ephesians 4. And among those three lists, there's around 20 to 24 different spiritual gifts that are listed. However, none of the lists are exhaustive, meaning there are more gifts than listed in those three different sections. And therefore tonight, as I express in my prayer, I want this to be like a string around my finger. And he asked, where do I get that term from? Growing up in the 90s, and Howard will appreciate possibly this artist, there's an artist who was in Christian music named Jeff Moore. And there's a group called Jeff Moore the Distance. And Jeff Moore wrote this song called Like a String Around My Finger. And the whole idea is that sometimes God just needs to remind us of His truth. Sometimes, maybe just because of time, maybe we've forgotten. It might be due to ignorance. But most of the time, we go through life and we forget some of the most foundational truths that apply to the body of Christ. And therefore, tonight, my prayer is that this will be a reminder. A reminder of truth when talking about spiritual gifts. Now, I want to begin, first of all, with the idea of unity in diversity before we get into our study. Okay? Number one, spiritual gifts are not for the purpose to enhance your personal status. This is not a competition. So, for example, every single person in this room, if you turn to have faith in Christ, you have a spiritual gift. But that gift does not give you a certain personal status in the church. Okay? I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can have a very competitive attitude when it comes to the issue of spiritual gifts. Sometimes we even make certain individuals celebrities because of their spiritual gifts. Okay? We'll actually highlight or we'll behold certain individuals as greater than another because they have a spiritual gift that might be more verbal, might be more outgoing, and therefore we have spiritual celebrities that we make based upon certain spiritual gifts. So this is a warning up front to our discussion. Third, spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. This is not man-made. When we talk about collective potential, we're not talking about your own strength or your own ability. We're talking about that the Holy Spirit of God has given you a gift, and that gift is for the contribution of the local church for edification and for growth. But that gift is something that's not man-made. It is a gift from God. To have the Holy Spirit in your heart and giving you a gift is a gift from God. You do not deserve it. Now, if you ask the question, why do we have spiritual gifts? There are two purposes. Number one, for corporate edification. Each of us has a spiritual gift in order that the corporate body, not yourself, should be edified. But number two, corporate service. Therefore, tonight, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And I promise you tonight will not be that long. But my prayer is, as we work through this passage, I hope to just have a few reminders that will be sort of the foundation for next week as we look at the idea of collective potential. Okay? So let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to begin in verse 14. And we're going to go through verse 19 before we get to our next point, okay? So remember, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. Just previously, he begins to talk about spiritual gifts. He provides a list in verses 8 through 10. And of course, we have a reminder in verses 12 and 13 of A, one body, one Lord, one Spirit. And then he turns to verse 14, and here's what I'll begin reading tonight. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body was an ear, what would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? So, I'll make a few notes here for us to work through tonight. Number one, we are the body of Christ, and we are one body. And a part of the body of Christ, we don't have all the same gifts. And here there's this metaphor of the body, that in the body of Christ, there are different limbs, there are different organs, and we all have differences. Okay? So, most of us, if we look around, let's take a few moments, look around the fellowship hall, okay? Look at each other. We have differences, okay? We have different gifts. We have different things that God has called us to. But the beautiful thing is that all of our differences contribute to this one body. Every single one of us in this room is essential to the body of Christ, despite us being different. You might be an eye, you might be an ear, you might be a leg, you might be an arm, and we might have all of our differences, but we are a part of one body of Christ. And truly, unity dominates diversity. Okay? Now, if you're in the corporate setting, and I primarily received this from a mother who's been in food line corporate now for over 35 years, diversity is one of the principles which they actually embrace. Now, I don't talk about diversity in the sense of a corporate setting or a cultural setting. I'm talking about diversity as in each person in this room and in this body has a unique gift that God has given him or her. Okay? We have differences. But we have, as a group, a collective potential, and therefore, in Christ and in the Spirit of God, we are unified despite all our differences. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. Despite all the differences in this room, we are one. And to me, that's just an absolutely beautiful thing to see in the body of Christ. And therefore, everyone is important. Okay? So, there is this horrible assumption that based upon your gifting, that somehow you might be a less important part of the body. Let me encourage you in this way. Every part of the body of Christ is important. No matter your age, no matter whether you're male or female, no matter your background, no matter your status and culture, no matter what it is, you are an important part of the body of Christ, and you need to hear that. Okay? You need to contribute that part to the body of Christ. And really, I believe God, His grace, has actually set limits on us when we talk about spiritual gifts. So, for example, I can't be Howard, okay? I can't play an instrument. I can't play a saxophone. I can't sing. Amanda might can, but I certainly can't, okay? And I believe it's actually a part of, I think it's actually a part of God's grace that I can't do those things, okay? It's God's grace upon you and God's grace upon Howard. But if you really think about it, I can't be everything. You can't be everything. Not one of us can have all the gifts. And therefore, God has created us uniquely. And I think it's by His grace and by His design that each and every one of us have a unique gift that we can contribute to the local body of Christ. And that's what makes us beautiful. Eyes, ears, hands, and feet, we all have our assigned function. And if we don't work together, we will become disabled. Okay? I would say that one of the biggest hindrances you will see in the local church is that sometimes people go outside their gifting, whether it's an issue of pride, an issue of envy, and they actually stretch themselves so far that they have to have their hands in every single thing, and they're not gifted in those areas. And before you know it, everything becomes very dysfunctional. Okay? And then it starts falling apart, and we're asking, why is the ear trying to do everything? Or why is the eye trying to control everything? It's impossible. We all have our unique function in the body of Christ, and when we work together with all of our spiritual gifts, we are then fruitful, and we are a healthy, functioning body. And I think really a good example of this is the failure of one little valve can actually shut down the whole system. Okay? So think about your heart. One little valve, if it does not work, the body dies like this. Therefore, using that analogy, every small part of the body of Christ is extremely important. Okay? And we have to keep that in mind from all spectrums of the body of Christ. Okay? There is no unimportant gift. You might think you're insignificant. Okay? But your gift is needed for the healthiness of First Baptist Church. We can't accomplish God's plan for this church if you just sit on the sideline and soak. We all have to actually contribute our gifts in order to accomplish what God has for our church. And therefore, my prayer is that we'll be a well-functioning body. Hear the question that actually is in the text here. What if the whole body were an eye? Okay? So let's just say that everyone in this church was a teacher. Okay? We all said that our gift in this church is teaching, and we all just want to be teachers. Who's going to be those who show mercy at the hospital? Who are going to be those who show hospitality and serve in the kitchen? Who are going to be those who serve in other ways in the body of Christ? If we're all eyes, then we can't smell, we can't hear, we can't walk, we can't feed ourselves, we can't digest. A well-functioning body means two things. Number one, a multiplicity of members, and a multiplicity of gifts. Okay? We have to have more than one gift and more than one person using those gifts in the body of Christ. I truly believe diversity is the will of God in this way. Okay? Also note, for a well-functioning body, no single body part is the essence of the body. Okay? So, for example, no single body part is the only legitimate manifestation. Now, you ask, why is this important? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Okay? If you remember the issue of tongues. Now, I'm going to get to the whole issue about how we understand tongues, or what we call glossolalia for today. But here was the big issue. One of the main issues that was causing division among this church was the idea that tongues was the primary or the main legitimate manifestation of God's Spirit in this church. It was actually taking importance above all the other gifts, and therefore was causing disunity. Okay? And that's why Paul works through this through three chapters discussing this issue about unity and diversity among spiritual gifts. There's not just one legitimate manifestation. So, for example, preaching is extremely important to the body of Christ. But this is not the only manifestation of this church. There has to be other aspects to this church in which you contribute your gifts for the healthiness and for the growth and for the mission of this church. And we in the body of Christ have to accept our gifts with humility. Because if we're not careful, we can actually belittle one another or envy one another based upon spiritual gifts. Okay? So, for example, and I'll just give an example of this. If not careful, I can envy Howard's ability to sing. And if not careful, Howard can envy something, a gift that I might have. And what does that cause? That causes dysfunction. That causes disunity. And before you know that, that dysfunction or that disunity in staff will affect the rest of the church. Okay? And it might be something simple like that, but this is a constant temptation in the body of Christ, and sometimes we just don't recognize it. It's so very subtle that we don't even realize we're envying one another or we're belittling someone else's gift. Okay? So therefore, I encourage you, church, watch your heart as we talk about spiritual gifts. Okay? Now look with me at verse 20. Okay? I want to pick back up and finish this last section of 1 Corinthians 12 as we talk about spiritual gifts. Beginning in verse 20, it says, "As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." Verse 23. "And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed," notice here, "but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it." Verse 25. "That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." My biggest warning to you as a church family and to my own heart is that we need to watch our attitude. Because as God continues to work in our church, and me and Pastor will talk back and forth, and we are discussing that God's doing something really special here. And yet, let us not fool ourselves. Temptation can creep in. And if we're not careful, Satan will actually try to divide us. And our attitudes will reflect that we will start envying one another and think that somehow we are autonomous. Hear me out, church. No part of the body can sustain by themselves. This is not selfish, this is true. You need me and I need you. We all need each other in this room if we're going to be a healthy body of Christ. Okay? As a leader, and really this is sort of the metaphor here, the eye or the head, we are not self-sufficient. Okay? So for example, if this is all about just Pastor Jim or myself or Howard or whoever may be leading, we will fall flat on our face. We need you to be a part of God's mission here at First Baptist. We need you to contribute with your gifts that God has given you in order to accomplish His plan. We are not self-sufficient. We need you in this body. And maybe you think you're just ordinary. Maybe you think you're just, you know, sort of a behind-the-scenes type of gift. Listen, you are absolutely necessary to the health of this body. Your gift is needed in this body as we move forward for Him, okay? Now listen, we might have different gifts, but what unifies us is that we actually care for one another, all right? Now he asks, how is that important? Remember what Paul's argument is going here. 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about spiritual gifts. Well, as he turns to chapter 13, we call that what? The love chapter. The love chapter is actually what anchors the discussion of spiritual gifts. So what actually ties all of this together is that even though we have different gifts that God has given us, love is the ultimate aim of all of these gifts. And therefore, we care for one another. It is the principle of Christ's love that should dominate our heart's affection toward one another. And therefore, as it mentions in the text, suffering, and rejoicing together are a sign of unity. When we rejoice with one another, when we suffer with one another, despite our differences, despite our different spiritual gifts, this is truly a sign that we are unified as a church, that we truly seek the advantage of one another. And therefore, I want to end with this quote. Probably most influence of all church history upon my wife and I is a guy by the name of Martin Luther. Okay? I love Martin Luther in the sense of that though he was a human being just like you and I, he had his flaws, he had things that he was working through, but Martin Luther really, in his time period, was quite radical and was willing to give his life and die for the very scriptures that we have before us tonight. And I want to read this from him as he actually talks about the issue of spiritual gifts. And I want to end on this note tonight. Okay? So this is from Martin Luther. The sun does not say that it is black. The tree does not say, I bear no apples, pears, or grapes. That is not humility. But if you have gifts, you should say, these gifts are from God. I did not confer them upon myself. One should not be puffed up on their own account. If someone else does not have the gifts that I have, then he or she has others. If I exalt my gifts and despise another, that is pride. Notice this here. The sun does not vaunt it himself, though more fair than the earth and the trees, but says, although tree, you do not shine, I will not despise you, for you are green, and I will help you to be green. That last phrase there, you may not shine, but you are green, and I will help you be green. We need one another in this body if we're going to be healthy. And as we think about the 2020 vision, as we think about our collective potential next week when we have our discussion and we begin to brainstorm again, remind yourselves, because of God's Word and because of God's Spirit, that A, we need one another, every gift is important, and ultimately we are here for one another. Our gifts complement one another. And we are here to encourage and to support one another in their gifts in which God has given them. And my prayer is that as God continues to grow us, that we will see the collective potential that He has for our church. For you see, all of these things that we've listed the last few weeks, all the needs in our community, all the things that we see in our culture, the lostness, all the things that we celebrate in our past, all of these things can actually be addressed, and God can use our gifts to address these issues in our community. So for example, one of the gifts, it's actually the gift of service or generosity. Right behind me is actually the gift of generosity. We talk about the issue of hospitality. God's given us many people in our church who have the gift of hospitality, and that can impact our community. And therefore, church, I am praying for all of us that we would see the collective potential that God's given this church, that we would celebrate it, that we would nurture one another, that we would love one another, that we would encourage one another, and therefore trust God to do something incredible through this church for His glory here in Cabarrus County. That's my prayer. Church family, I love you. Thank you for your time tonight. I actually finished by 7-Eleven. Amazing. And thank you for putting up with me for Sunday and Wednesday. That has to be a burden to bear. But I love you all. Please keep these things in your prayers. Just a few quick notes before we go tonight. Number one, make sure to mark your calendar really, not so much this week, but next week. We have a lot of events coming up. Man Church is coming back, men, on Thursday, August 22nd. Don't miss that. We are serving Central Bears here on August 23rd, that Friday. And also, we're going back to Franklin's Park on August 25th as a church family. Make sure to bring your favorite dessert or side for that. We had a great time together out at the barn. We rented out the whole barn, except for upstairs. Now listen, there's not AC in the barn. However, there's a nice cool breeze, and we'll have a fan, so it'll be a lot cooler than it was a few years ago. Okay, so don't be discouraged. Join us on that Sunday for a great time of fellowship as sort of a closing to the summertime. All right, let's pray, and then we are dismissed from this evening. Lord, thank you for our time together. Lord, I pray that in some way your people were encouraged this evening, knowing, Lord, that first of all, what brings us together is that you are our Lord, and that your Spirit abides in all of us who have placed our faith in you. Lord, you have gifted us, each and every one of us, uniquely for the purpose of edification and for the purpose of service in this body. And Lord, I pray that we would nurture one another and encourage one another and love one another in each other's gifts. And Lord, I pray that we would see the collective potential here at First Baptist, and that, Lord, you would help us by your Spirit to use the gifts that you have given us to spread your good news here in Concord and to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great night, and I will see you on Sunday.